the Gen Dads diapers in Defy. Two crypto nerds just trying to get by.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Degen Dads podcast. We have a very special guest today that I'll introduce in just a minute. Our main topic today is Avalanche planning to raise $1 billion for AVAX DATS. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. We have some updates that we're immediately going to get into after this introduction with Cryer, which is going to be on that Poly Market bet that I took on the last episode of Degen Dads podcast. We did some leverage positions, some leverage trades this week. We're going to update you on those. Some DGEN meme coins, creator capital markets. There's a lot to talk about in this episode. And of course, we're going to end it with some ripping open some RWA Pokemon packs that can be either sold immediately back via the blockchain or the sites, or you can redeem the physical, which my physical is coming in hopefully by the next episode that I can show you guys that I pulled on this podcast. With all that being said, I'm joined as always by my co-host Kyle Wilson, and we have this very special guest, Cryer, otherwise known as Crypto Cryer, longtime OG in the space, absolutely just one of the best traders that we know about.
Those are my horns.
Leads a 3 times a week space, just updating you guys all things on the market, talking about the market. Absolute grinder, full-time crypto. Welcome, Cryer. How's it going today, man?
Sup?
Going good, man.
Good. Glad you could join us. Also, fellow dad, you know, like that's one of the ideas about this podcast is we got to get parents on here. It was brought to our attention that we might be too inclusive with dads.
Too exclusive.
And we just want to let you know that like moms are welcome too, right? Like
I'm actually starting a new podcast.
Not just moms, all walks of life. You're welcome.
Well, your parents are extra welcome though, because like that's the point, yeah, right? Like,
the whole reason of the brand, it's relatable. You know, like it's no big deal. It's not that deep, guys. But yeah, so everybody's welcome.
But you know what is that deep is the Fed cuts that are coming up, right? Is that a good transition, bro?
Solid transition.
Is it gonna be
50 basis points or 25 basis points? Yeah, I think the Poly Market pulled up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have my here. I'll go ahead and the typical screen share that we use is meant for two talking heads. So let me see a way to balance this out. Let's use this. Let's do this screen. So before we go into what we just mentioned with the Fed rates, I opened this last week on the show. It was whether Gemini 3.0 will be released by October. And I'm in the red right now, fellas. I opened up a $100 position on that it would not be released. And since then, people are seeming to think that it is going to be released, Gemini 3.0. So I'm actually down 18 bucks on this position. I'll continue to update you guys. I wonder, I might need to just add a little bit of liquidity and like double down here because I still don't think it's going to be released by October. But more like much bigger topics would be like this Fed decision, right, that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So actually, when we first started covering this, the chances of it being even a 25 point decrease was like 60%. Now that's 85%. It's pretty much factored in at this point. I mean, obviously, there's a little discrepancy there. But people are now even saying that it could even be a 50 point decrease. Now only like the odds of this right now is only 13%. What do you guys think? Do you think that there's going to be a 50% decrease, but like do you think these odds are accurate? Do you think that like would you say that there's 13% chance of 50 decrease, or would you say it's higher? I mean,
there's
lower?
A lot of volume. There's 102 million in volume, so that's got to be, you know, pretty close, I would say.
I would say too, yeah. Like I think it, you can see that it spiked on the chart like at the beginning or like mid-August, and then it kind of went down a little bit coming into this month, but I think it'll gradually increase. That's kind of my prediction. 25 basis points, I think that's kind of like what most people think, but I think there is a small chance that we do get 50.
I honestly think the 50 odds are actually pretty good.
I do too. 13%.
Chance, like not saying like it's going to be 100% chance, but let's say like right now, the more they talk about it, how it's like, oh, we had CPI lowered 13, like 13 could go to like 25. Like,
yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Here's one thing that you guys and the viewers need to take into consideration. Literally a week ago, the chances of 50%, what I don't know, I can't see the date exactly, was like 4.6 on September 1st, which was a little over a week ago, the chances of 50-point decrease was 4.6%, meaning the people that bet on that are up over 2x right now. They're up 3x because they placed in their bet at 4.6%, and now it's 13%. So you don't necessarily have to look at this as being like a right or wrong. Or no. It's that like you can trade into that decision of, you know, that you think that it's higher than a 4.6% chance. You could have hit a 3x on that almost, and now, you know, you're out, you know. So you have to look at it that way. Like, not if you're obviously, there's the time factor, which we talked a lot about last week, of like every day that these decisions get closer, the actual more solid answer is going to solidify and you'll see that gap closing. But as of, you know, a couple weeks ago, or things that are a little bit further in the future, it's, you might, instead of saying you believe that there's going to be a 50-point decrease, you have to kind of say to yourself, do I think that this should be at 13%? Do I think this should be at 5%? Do I think it should be 1%?
Yeah, I think closer to like 20, it's very, like, I don't know. Like, they've already talked about it a little bit. They've already said that they, you know, the CPI was supposed to be 3.2 expected, and that was 2.9, which is an increase. It was 2.7, and then now we're at 2.9. So it did go up. That shows like a starting to kind of slow down the economy, which means that they do need to do the cuts, or just more, you know, that's more proof that they are, that the economy is slowing. So they need to kind of prove that, and we'll see what happens.
But so, yeah, so should I just liquidate my current position and just go the fact that I think that this is going to go up from 13%?
That's on you, dog.
On you, bro. I think that's a good move.
Honestly. All right. I bet I'm doing it right now.
I don't know what the other bet. I don't know anything about that one. So
bro, yeah, I think the minimum, it's like 20% seems pretty reasonable.
You only get 65 basis
points cut. But yeah, like a lot of people that seem to like, even BlackRock's like calling for a 50-point basis cut, but will that happen? I don't know. That's just what they're calling for, you know. So I think the louder these kind of people get in the space, in the financial space, I think the more odds like will increase, just because like the sentiment will shift in that favor. And that could be a nice little swing trade, a little scalp trade there.
It's huge too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I just put it all on black, guys. I took the financial advice from Cryer saying that this was going to go from 13 to 20. And so I'm hoping for like almost a clean little 2x here. What's up, Professor? Say hello, DJ and Dads in the chat. As a reminder, I don't think I hit this in the intro, but we do on-chain stuff during these episodes, right? Like, so more than just like talking about what's going on, talking about the news, talking about these protocols. As you saw, I just bought this in real time. We do a lot of leverage trading in real time, a lot of buying memes and opening packs. So like one of the things about the show is we want to show you that like being on-chain really isn't as scary as it seems, and participating in these things really isn't that scary. Now obviously it depends on what you're working with, but yeah, that's why I bought a little bit. Is there anything else that we want to say macro wise like I saw the PPI data came in today.
I would like to say something. Speaking of like not making things scary, we have a school community. I don't know if we should bringing this up so super early, but I wanted to chill that real quick. We'll have more deets on that later.
Yes, sir. And I mean, on that note, Kyle Beans, you got your screen up already. If we don't have any more things to say on the macro, we could go ahead and go into the AVAX news. I would say you're our AVAX expert on this show. Cryer is our AVAX whale on this show. And I am an AVAX enthusiast on this show. So we got the expert, the whale, and the enthusiast.
Yeah, we got real blockchain peeps doing real things out here. So crypto DAT companies, or crypto DAT is what you can call them for short, are created to acquire. So this is what a DAT actually is. So for people not in the know, created to acquire tokens off the open market. Foundations can help see them with some tokens simply so they have an attractive MNAV, which is like the what is that with like the financial value or like the underlying.
Yeah, essentially like how like value. Yeah, like the market value of assets that are being held versus the stock. Like you're comparing those two.
Yeah. So 1 billion is approximate. So like basically the Avalanche Foundation eyes $1 billion to set up AVAX treasury firms in the US. $1 billion is approximately 8% of the AVAX supply. That's a huge, huge amount. So, you know, you're talking about possibly a huge like price appreciation to some of these tokens. If this becomes like very successful, like you could probably surmise that like I can't like, you know, say price prediction work with Avalanche, but usually that means it's a good thing for like the underlying token, obviously, the price of it. I'll leave it at that. But the Avalanche Foundation eyes $1 billion to set up the AVAX treasury firms in the US. And the article goes on just kind of say a little bit more. Professor says, I'm still slowly understanding prediction market. I know it's like unusual social betting, but I'll rather take my time. So yeah, like we cover that weekly, so don't worry about that. Like we'll have more content coming on that, like more interesting markets, maybe some more relatable sports markets, something like that. We'll cover some of that in detail. But back to the Avalanche, you know, DATS, Avalanche Foundation is aiming to raise the $1 billion across two deals to establish crypto treasury companies in the U.S. Two companies will be reportedly using the proceeds to purchase AVAX cryptocurrency from the foundation at a discounted price. So that's good for them, good for their holders. It looks like one of the companies here down here, it says one of the deals targets to raise $500 million in a private investment in a NASDAQ traded company. Investment is led by Hivemind Capital and advised by SkyBridge Capital founder Anthony Scaramucci. SkyBridge also has RWAs. They announced just like a couple weeks back that they are dropping like $300 million worth of RWAs on Avalanche. And that has also the RWA value on chain has gone up significantly as well, like $100 million since the 6th or something like that. It's been like 6 days it's gone up in value. We'll get to a chart in just a minute. So the other deal involves a special purpose acquisition vehicle sponsored by Dragonfly Capital, which also aims to raise $500 million with an expected completion date in October, that which is right around the corner. This is all correlating with a very bullish market. So this is something that if you're in the crowd, you're watching, you're like wondering what is a good token? What's this? What's that? I mean, this is pretty positive news, of like one of the more positive news I've seen around a token. There's other tokens that are doing similar stuff with like treasuries, but this one is a huge, huge sticker number, like sticker price number. It says with the proceeds, the two companies are expected to purchase millions of Avalanche AVAX cryptocurrency, with which the foundation will offer a discounted price, according to the report. And that pretty much sums it up. The rest of it just goes into a little bit more detail about that. But yeah, as you can see, Avalanche being utilized by investment firms like BlackRock, Apollo, Wellington Asset Management to test tokenization of funds. So we could see also a huge amount of tokenization happening on Avalanche because it's the kind of perfect architecture for private companies and investment firms to like launch their own product services via their own layer one with a custom gas token, custom, you know, everything's custom. So it makes a lot of sense for, you know, these private businesses to do stuff like this. So not too much of a surprise if you've been on Avalanche for a while. Pretty good news here. And then just heading over to the RWA chart, which stands for real world assets. So if you don't know what RWA, it's just real world assets, and can mean a number of things. It just ties to a real world asset, literally what it means. And we'll be actually pulling a Pokemon card via the blockchain, which actually the Pokemon card we're pulling is a real life Pokemon card, and just represented by like an NFT. But that's technically a real world asset as well. But there's other forms of RWAs, you know, in this case, you know, a lot of it's just financial related real world assets. So this has skyrocketed to $405 million of total RWA value on Avalanche, 115% increase the last 30 days, and over 100 million in the last like 6 days. And you can see like it's gone parabolic right here and on this chart. So that's that. Stablecoin market has also increased quite significantly as well. It's that, you know, as of yesterday, it was around 2.67 billion, which is pretty incredible considering like they had a slight drop off in kind of the downturn, but it's been obviously increasing quite significantly the past, you know, couple months. So that's your Avalanche update for the week. Pretty crazy stuff. And I was able to trade off of some of this news and lock in some gains on that. I was trading on Enclave using their Telegram bot and locked in around 5K on that trade. So that was a good one there. And some other trades I'm kind of been up to is going to be Jupiter. So Jupiter is one of my like low key beta plays for Solana. Solana, you know, we know it could go to 300. It could go to 4. Some people are calling for by the end of the bull cycle, even $1,000 Solana in the most bullish cases. But Jupiter, you know, it has a good underlying fundamentals. I like what I see here on the chart. It's been consolidating for quite some time during the downturn of this year. And as we get into more of a bull season, for me, the charts are starting to look really good, very interesting, and it's starting to pick up there. You can see I entered in right around, and I should probably set my stop losses, but I just have
bro has 10K on leverage with no stop losses right now.
No stop loss. They do it on all in.
They call him Stan Bacon Freed.
Yeah, we're all in on this one.
At 10X leverage.
Yeah, so we're all in on this one. I've been actually watching this one really closely. I don't think this one's going to dip. But yeah, like don't do what I did in that case, in that instance. We'll be including the lessons of what not to do in our school course. But yeah, as you can see, it's been going up. There's actually, let me switch over to Trading View on a better chart.
Are all those I got a question real quick. Are all those buys like, can you,
they're, I think, market. I talked to
you. Okay, yeah, the market buys and they just add size to your position.
They're limit. No, so there are limit orders and limit, there are limit buys and limit sales. So you know, that way the it fills in at like the most,
oh,
like,
okay, but the why lowest, is there like
limit price basically,
so. The one before these recent trades though, it has like 1, 2, 3, 5 buys before the sale, right? So you bought 5 times and you sold once.
Yeah, so
inside that candle, like, you know, that big, he bought like probably lower and then went up and then sold.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to understand Hyperliquid's UI here, because like on Wasabi, like you can add to your position size, right? Like you like increase your position, almost like DCAing your leverage position. I didn't know that's like the same thing that I'm viewing here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I don't know what you view on that, but like Cryer said, like the candle, like if I bought in low here on these two candles, sold up high, which is, you know, what you want to do typically. And so that's why that looks like that. But yeah, you can like add more to this size. It'll like, so if I bought like down here and I bought more up here, it would just be like an average.
That's all I was asking. Cause there's like 5 buys and 1 sell. So I was just asking if those 5 buys like added to your same position or if those were like 5 different positions.
Yeah. So I've been trading Jupe a little bit. I think I closed a sell to try to, well, I did swing on WLFI and did good on that one. Tried to double dip, didn't do good on that. Kind of gave back some of my gains on that, but we're back in Jupe, and this trade's been pretty good so far, as you can see. And as we continue into this pattern here, I don't think we'll see like any kind of, we might hit like at the lowest a 4.7 level, but I don't necessarily expect that. Unless we get like a swan or like, you know, some bad news coming in. But as we get closer to the Fed rate cut, I fully expect it to, let me go here to this chart. As you can see, it's breaking out of this pattern. And obviously there's like the bigger pattern as well to trade off of. But yeah, the chart's looking really good here. You can see a lot of accumulated value and trading volume like right in this level. So again, I don't expect it to go too much lower than that before it starts really going up, especially if Solana like is being predicted to go to 300 here in the, just in the short term. It may bounce a little bit off of these, like this upper resistance here, but if it breaks through that cleanly, I think it's kind of in price discovery mode. So
dude, Solana's at 227 there, so. Today? Are you kidding me? What?
Yeah, so I'm watching the Sol charts pretty close, and we know that Sol's like one of the top bags of most people in the space. People love Sol, so I don't think the momentum's going to slow. Unless, again, there's like some sort of scenario where there's a random black swan or something like that.
And so, it's been lagging too. Like, it's been lagging against ETH and Bitcoin. Now we're, you know, we've got this huge, we had Bitcoin do its big win, right? And we've all seen that happen. Everyone's all Bitcoin charts, like compared to the Bitcoin ratio, are demolished. Now we saw ETH kind of catch up a little bit. Still hasn't broken out, but yeah, SOL's been lagging and it's playing catch up now. You know, I think those are the three main ones to watch, and you can kind of see that rotation. I definitely agree. I think Jupe can go to like 65, like that gap right there, that 65 cent gap.
Yeah, like,
that's probably where I would sell a bunch. But yeah,
right. Like, and then yeah, I'm thinking that in the same exact range here too. So I think we may hit some resistance around like exactly like 65, 70 level. Yeah. And that's probably where I'll sell the bag, a little bit of the bag, and then expect it to dip, rebuy, and then it'll continue the bullish trend here. So, and this has been consolidating for quite some time. You saw it go down to, you know, 30 cents and down here again, 32. And you're seeing like lower lows, and it's been continuing to pick up. And that's why I think this chart looks really phenomenal. And I think it already bottomed out down here. So, pretty good stuff there.
Great play, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I traded Arbitrum, was very similar at the time. I traded this one quite a bit too. You saw a similar kind of setup here, and it's starting to, yeah, and this one's been consolidating even more so. And Robinhood has yet to actually officially drop the Robinhood chain, which is based on Arbitrum.
Yep.
I think on that news, we could see some activity, especially if we go full bull. Mainstream's going to be looking for like certain tokens to like buy. I think Arbitrum is going to be one of those tokens like naturally listed in a lot of articles and a lot of media. Robinhood itself has entered the S&P 500 technically. I don't know if they're like official yet, but they have the financials to be in the S&P
500. They did choose it, right?
Yeah, they just weren't, they like crossed it, but they weren't like officially included on that closing day. So I think now they are, but so yeah, I think Arbitrum's a really good play as well. But right now I'm just trading Jupe, you know, for now. And then, but I do like the Arbitrum chart too. So
cool, man. I guess my last question for myself and for like, I guess anybody viewing is, if you decide to like add a stop loss on it, are you taking that, like, is your thoughts on it like I will stop loss at like a 25% gain? Or like, are you like, well, I don't really want to get wicked out.
Take profit. So. Yeah, take profit. 70 cents, that's going to be like, what, 30% or something? Or like, I guess that's like a 30% increase in price. Or I don't know the actual, I'm probably doing bad math right now. But I'm just going to take profit around that. So I could set the price at like 70 cents if I wanted to take profit at 70 cents. Or if I was being conservative and want to like get out before other people are trying to get out, which a lot of people are doing these days in crypto.
Yeah.
I might set it at like what Cryer said, 65 cents to like lock in gains before other people start dumping at that 70 cent level. So that's something I'll consider at that time. Again, it just depends on the momentum of the trade itself. Like if we get more and more bullish news, all of a sudden Solana's pumping like to, it goes beyond 300, let's say like 320, then I might keep a little bit longer of that hold and see where it goes from there and take profits maybe on if it starts downturning on the backside of that trade. That's kind of how I look at it. So I'm kind of like a conspirator a little bit in Hyperliquid, like, or just like just in normal decentralized exchanges, because they can see your orders, they can see where your stop losses are set. So I'm kind of weird on it a little bit. I do actively watch the chart like day in and day out, but this one's such a low kind of like lower risk trade. It is a 10x trade for me, so it's high risk. But at the same time, if I did no leverage at all, it'd pretty much be a pretty low risk trade, in my opinion.
Given the actual underlying token is a low risk token, but you've made it into that.
I made it into a high risk. Yeah. So, there's a little bit more that goes into it. But, you know, yeah, best practices is always have both. Your stop losses and, you know, take profits.
We got Andrew, the average in chat. What's up, Andrew? Welcome to the Degen Dads podcast. Dude, Pump's been looking good lately too. I was an advocate of Pump on the show at like literally at the lows at like 0.002. Unfortunately, I took my profits at like 0.003. So I was one of those that like sold like right here. And now we're at like basically at a 2x from 0.02 here.
0.02 to 0.03 or 0.02.
I did. No. I bought 0.002. So I bought the bottom, talked about it on the podcast, but I sold like the first pump. Yeah. So I sold
it. I thought you said 0.002. Like, and then you sold at
0.0023. Like, no. But if I would have held, I would have held like another easily 2x. I mean, this is just with their buybacks, with their attention, with everything, to me, like Pump's just been kind of an obvious play. And their creator capital markets has been, call it fad or not, I have no idea. I don't really have much opinion on it, but it's been like absolutely crushing. They also got the infamous Binance, listing. I don't know if it's actually been listed yet, or this is just like the announcement that they're going to list it. But it's funny because like they started off being listed on everything except for Binance. So you would think that like they've already had the centralized exchange, the SEX listing pump. Apparently they didn't. And they're obviously still doing like super aggressive buybacks every day, and the creator capital market. So Pump's been a good play. I do think that this is something that like finds a top and then like bleeds heavily. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I really feel like $5 billion market cap for a launch pad when it has all the competitors that it has. Like there's like hundreds of launch pads now. And they're trying to create something I don't think is feasible, which is this like, you know, competing with TikTok. Whereas right now it's just kind of like, oh, bro, I don't know if you've been following with all the Pump Fun streams. Some of them are just like typical creators, right? Like, you know, just doing regular creator things. And then some of them is like this degenerate, like Pump Fun meets like, not Pump Fun, OnlyFans meets like, just like very degenerate, weird stuff. So I don't know if I'm like long-term bullish on this, but I am watching it short-term. I know, hot take, but I really do feel like this is something if you can find the top and short, like you'll just like have like the biggest print ever. But I don't know. What do you guys think? How are you feeling about Pump right now?
I mean, I like what they're doing, right? I mean, I think the creator capitals, they pretty much 10x their creator rewards, which in their, so far what they've done is taken $1.2 billion out of Solana's market. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They directly sold it to cash for $600 billion, and then they rose an additional $600 million twice out of Solana. So, like, now that they've kind of got their idea going, they want people to trade these markets. And again, they're just that middleman. Like, again, at the end of the day, all they do is provide a service that allows you to make a token really fast and really easy. So, like, that's in this age of crypto, that's what everybody wants. It's obviously super, but they really haven't given anything back, and this is the first time they've actually kind of like, it is aligned with them, but like they are rewarding people who are actually bringing the volume to their platform, which, you know, at the end of the day, most of these platforms don't do, right? We saw like OpenSea never did anything, you know, like the one, they all got eaten up by the ones that kind of did give back to the users and the platform users and people who actually bring volume to their chain. So like, again, I think that's a really big step in the right direction. And I think their layout and platform for the streaming stuff is actually done really, really well. But you have to, you know, you do your super due diligence on the people you buy, right? I mean, you saw like Razmir's token got absolutely destroyed yesterday from like, sound like 80% because he had a bad tweet. Like,
yeah. It was a pretty bad tweet. Tough.
I mean, it was a terrible tweet. I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But if you're buying creators, they can say dumb shit at any moment.
Sure.
You know, look at like Gainsy did the same. Like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Nuked his token. So like,
yeah.
There is a lot of upside on them, but again, it's tough. But like, for the trader of it, I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's negative trade if you're trying to trade the people. The obviously making a token is incredibly like, shout out to this dude, Cat5. He's been streaming on Abstract for literally like months.
Where's he at? I'll click on it.
Cat5. I don't know. He's probably not streaming right now. If you search Cat5 on there or whatever. But like, he's been streaming on Abstract for literally months. And you know, he doesn't get a lot of people on there. Like, no one on Abstract gets a lot of people. Like, the max is, like, 60 people. Not saying he gets a ton on this one either, but, like, if you like music, he's just playing music. He's playing a DJ set, like, every night.
And yeah, that's cool.
So, like, his token isn't that high. It was, like, 200K or whatever. But, like, he was just talking about his rewards, and he had gotten, like, 30 soul from his creator rewards already, which is way, way, way more than, like, and again, like, his token didn't do incredible numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have a ton of volume. And I think it's at, like, 80K now, but, like, the, or whatever it is. But, like, I'm just saying, like, the person who is creating stuff on the platform and actually is just using it to, like, get more attention for their brand or get their, you know, it really does incentivize you. Now he's got 30 soul to, you know, do what he wants with. He could buy better equipment for his DJ thing. He could buy, you know, like, that is empowering somebody. And it is it tells you right now if you're interesting or not, right? Like, do people actually want to come and listen to this? Yes or no? And it's you find out instantly based on, you know, the internet capital market thing that everyone's
talking
about, right?
Yeah, the streamer one, I like the streamer coin. I thought that was a pretty interesting one. I saw one called Kind Token where some dude was just dropping donos to like Twitch streamer, like basically Twitch streamers in need and like surprising them with like $1,000 dono or something crazy. Or I don't know, like whoever on Pump Fund, I don't really know. But I thought that was a pretty cool like concept and idea. I don't know what the market cap of that was, but apparently they're doing well if they're dropping like, you know, 1K donos to people on stream and like clipping up that content and it like kind of going semi-viral on other platforms and people finding out about like the KindCoin community. So I thought that was really interesting. Like there's unique ideas that like still have yet to be born here. And like StreamerCoin's pretty interesting too. I thought that one was like, I should have got in. I faded that one super early and it like ran to like, almost 15 mil or something like that, or a little bit above 15. But I've seen that one pop up quite a bit too. Streamer coin.
Yeah. That's what I'm on.
Seems more like a little bit more dedicated to a cause versus like Trick Car said, like trying to trade a creator coin and it be super volatile based on like the creator itself. So, yeah. So like finding more solid alpha plays like that could be like the strategy here. I like when I go back to the Pump Fund chart though, like if I'm looking at more of a conservative trade, I don't know if I was going to trade that one. That was on my radar. I almost got in on the low, kind of wish I did, but then I saw Jupiter. I'm like, okay, Jupiter's chart looks just as good and it's got a lot more fundamentals going on with it. They actually have real products. There's fees being generated like day in, day out. So that one is why I kind of like picked, you know, Jupiter over Pump Fund, let's say. So, but yeah, Pump Fund chart did look really good. It looks like it's ran up quite a bit. So I don't think I'll be entering this one. But yeah, like maybe looking for more of the top than anything. But we are moving into bullish territory, bullish water. So this is something I wouldn't short anytime soon just yet. But it'll be interesting to see where the top's at on this one, though.
Yeah, I'm interested as well. Do you think that, like, I know that all airdrops, well, this wasn't, there's, but also that's still a thing. We're still kind of waiting on the airdrop, which would be so much sell pressure on this token as well. But do you think there's like a psychological impact of like, even though it's not like really real metrics of when like a token first launches? So like, technically this isn't at all time high because like the first day it launched, it actually touched these levels. Do you think that there's like a psychological, like it has to break through this, or you think that doesn't really matter being those kind of like price discovery in the first, it's like, you know what I mean? Like it's almost fake all time high because like it was just launched. So everybody's getting their tokens, and everything. Like,
yeah. I mean, I still think it's, I mean, it's definitely real. I mean, it's definitely real. I mean, it launched at like multiple billions too. So like that's not like a, you know, liquidity isn't in yet kind of candle. That's like,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like you see those when they're like, oh, it hit 8 trillion for a second. You know, because there was no liquidity or
something. Yeah, yeah.
Like yeah. That, I mean, that is real liquidity, and that really did hit there. You know, I mean, there was multiple.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Yeah, it's there. It's on the chart. You know, the raise was there. The $600 million was raised. So this one, that's definitely something, a level to trade off of for sure. So that's why it looks like, you know, people were getting out of that, like, right before it hit it. So that's, like, the funny thing about crypto, and I think meme coins have played into traders in crypto, is like people are taking profits before it even hits the psychological levels, what I've noticed lately. Like they're taking like 5 or 10% before it even gets there, like off the table. Like they're like taking that off before it even gets there. And I think a lot of that is the meme coin trenches have trained people to like, you know, get out like faster than not, you know.
We have Andrew the Savage in chat said, if you guys haven't already talked about it, I'd love to hear your thoughts on DATs that are purchasing tokens directly from foundations versus market purchases, which I think, Kyle, so, you mainly.
Yeah, so we actually talked about that, I think, before Andrew got in here. So we went over like the Avalanche DATs and like all of that. I think it's a pretty interesting, you know, model, of course, like, it's not too much different than just the regular treasuries that are doing it.
So yeah, I was gonna show that.
I like what he's saying though, like purchasing directly from foundation versus market purchase, because essentially what Avalanche is doing is like, oh, they're like giving their tokens to like a friend for like a cheap price.
Is essentially what right. Somebody that's not gonna dump it.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, you know, they're not that there's a double sided on that, right? Like obviously they're gonna hold them for a long time because they got them for a cheap price, and that's like the goal of that anyways, is to hold it for a long time. But also you're not getting the buy pressure. You're not getting the massive like, oh, they just like, you know, B Minor and you know, Fundstrat and all the like Tom Lee shit. They're like, oh yeah, we bought $200 million worth of ETH directly off the open market today, because you can't, there is no foundation, like the foundation didn't have enough money to, you know, to give a cheap tokens away, whereas Avalanche definitely does, because they've done this multiple times,
right?
Where you're buying from like, you know, a cheaper rate than the going rate, which again, like people are doing with the Solana too. Like they're seeking out investors for the Solana DATs that are like, yo, their tokens are locked from vested tokens, but people are buying them at like a, you know, 23% discount. But we saw like a lot of purchases on that too. So like, you know, as the tokens get out of that like vesting range and stuff like that, then it turns into more like Ethereum, where it's just buying directly off the market and it's going way, like it really affects the price. Whereas this, you know, it is bullish that people are accumulating the tokens, but it really, I mean, they're buying it from the foundation who already has the tokens. So it's really just like sending it to a new wallet that's being held. You know what I mean? It's not like you're not getting the buy, like the massive, massive buy pressure. So,
Kurt, I will say your audio is like kind of in and out. I don't know if it's like when you move, but
probably.
Yeah, I can hear everything, but it's just kind of like,
I got you.
Like, I don't know. I want to shout out real quick. These are live on YouTube. We're live everywhere, like Kick, and we're live on Twitter and all that. But YouTube's going to be the easiest place to find like a hub of these lives. So like, if you want to see it, if you want to listen to it, then we're live on all audio platforms, Spotify, Apple, everything. So if you want to listen to it, any audio platform, if you want to watch it, I would say YouTube. It's at Degen Dad's Podcast. It's probably the best place under lives. Would you, anything to add to that, Kyle? I know.
Nah, I think he said it all there. So yeah, okay. Find his YouTube, Kick, or audio, Spotify, Apple, just the majors. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if Kick keeps up with.
I think we'll be adding Twitch soon as well.
But I don't think Kick keeps up with previous lives though, right? Like, I think you have to like, catch us live. But I'm saying, like, for somebody like Andrew that wants to go back video? And watch. Yeah, that wants to go back and watch it. Probably YouTube's the only place to really catch that.
And join school for a limited time for free.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Cool. I mean, we've spent about 40 minutes talking about Pump, talking about AVAX, talking about some things that we're looking at. Are we ready to like open some packs, or is there anything else touching that you guys would like to talk about before we move on?
I'm down.
Yeah.
All right. Let's open some packs. So I have.
Let's rip open a Charizard.
I have some monies on Fidgetal, which is an awesome site that we've been using. We've been using Fidgetals and we've been using BZ. And so today, just because I have some monies on Fidgetals, I'm going to use that. We have options here. We have a $1 pack. I'll just go ahead and open 220 of these real quick. You know, we'll be on for a couple hours.
We should.
That'd be really like funny.
Mr. Beast. Dude, we should do a Mr. Beast challenge and open like $1,000 packs like every day. Or
just keep it going
for 30 days straight.
You know? It'd actually kind of be cool to open a bunch and see like if you're more profitable or less profitable after opening 1,000 packs or whatever.
I dare you to open a dollar pack.
25
right now.
Pack. We have a $50 pack. We have this One Piece $80 pack. I just am not really a One Piece fan. I'm not no Red Sox guy or anything like that. But you can pull a $10,000 card, bro.
Dar does look really good. Off but of yeah,
it. I might.
He's going bananas on that shit.
I'll open one just because. I actually could top it off and buy one of these $250 packs, but I'd have
to. I bought a $500 the other day, but I didn't get. I got a $300 card out of it. So I was like, dang.
Cryer, send me some money so I can open this $500 pack, bro. I'll send you my account. All right, so let's just do it, bro. We'll start off with a $1 pack. Why not? Well, pay with wallet balance.
$1 pack. Let's go.
$1 pack.
Let's go. We're really DJing.
Get an energy card. Congrats.
It said, I think the mythic, it said like 0%.
he just said energy card. Ayo, I pulled a 85 cent 2023 Spinada. Let's go.
You should definitely get that end up your house.
I'm going to go and fill out my information to get that sent.
Chris didn't even pronounce the name right of the Pokemon. He said Spinada or something.
What is it, Spinata? I'm actually a big Pokemon fan, but I'm more of like on the gaming side. So like in the games, it's not like you've encountered a Spinata. It just says like the name. So it's just whatever.
Like, it wrong.
What is it? How do you pronounce it?
I think it was like Spinda, and you're like Spinata. Like it's like a Hispanic Pokemon.
I don't want to get into politics, bro. You're gonna have somebody clip this and find a reason to get offended by it.
Whatever. My Mexican friends would laugh. They'd be like, they'd be dying right now.
Yeah, I have
friends from Mexico.
I do too, and I can't pronounce anything.
I know you ripped something pretty good the other day, but what are you mostly ripping? Like 20, like 25 or the 50s?
At least on BZ, I like their $50 price point packs. On here, I only opened one $500 pack, and it was like a $300 card. So it's kind of like, I wish I got something more closer in value, but it's all good. I understand the business model. But
do you want to rip open a $50 pack on BZ after I do these? Or
right now, I forgot to mention, but now that we are on the topic... I have my money that I was loaded up on BZ in Pika right now.
Oh, at 1 mil.
Let's go.
That's not 1 mil right now.
1.4 again.
Yeah, I'm up like I don't have much on this Axiom account, but I threw in like $400 or $500. Since I am more of an AVAX guy, I don't have like $1 billion of soul, but I'm up like right here. What is it up for? Yeah, you can see it. 138% right there. So not bad for a day's trade. I may take profits here pretty soon, or maybe we'll see. We'll see where this price action goes to today. We'll see.
That
if it picks up momentum, if it breaks through here, then that'd be good. But if it like rejects off of this level, I'm probably selling. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That red candle this one. At the 900K mark. You see that little red candle right there?
That's you?
Not there. If you go, it's like the recent red candle. That was me. Right
here?
A little bit more right.
That's you?
Probably two over. One more over. Right there. That one's me.
This little beep.
No, the one before
digger.
That.
A little digger.
I think
that was more about that little guy.
Yeah.
It's like, and I was like, dang, Chris, right here is a lift.
Yeah, just like
mine's over there at the 870 or 860. Oh, right there, the little red.
That's funny. Like, this little, like, beep.
Nah, jokes aside, I mean, that I did sell this morning, but I do plan on buying back. But this is like, you know, part of the greater like reserves. Like, you have the Zard reserve that Kyle's been talking about for a while. Reserves. Yeah, you have the Pika reserve now, and BZ's kind of pushing it. Flow is kind of pushing BZ's it. You know, like not it's officially, probably a good play. But like, affiliates are pushing it, not officially. So
you know what I mean? Like it's the better. Like it's
Yeah, it's a better option for a higher risk play. I'll buy back in. I had a rough trading week.
Seven.
Yeah, well, and it's at like four right now almost, and it was at like the first time you mentioned on the show was at like one, then it went to four, then went back down to like two, and I bought it two, and it's kind of been bouncing around, but it's up right now. So all that being said, all right, so I bought a $1 pack, I bought a $25 pack, I'm gonna buy a $50 pack now. Let's see. So far, both packs have been negative, and they haven't really been packs that I resonate with.
One of the things I really think is funny about all those is like. You know, we're talking about the nav of
the mnav of token.
The mnav is like 8,000 because they have like it's a $7 million token with like $20,000 worth of shitty Charizards. You're like,
it is funny, dude. And I think that's one of the things that like shook me out of my Zard position. Okay. But I opened a Japanese Umbreon here. I'm actually gonna sell this one back for 30.
Sword Shield.
Yeah, I need to stop pulling the Sword and Shield stuff, bro. Those are good games, but come on, I got to pull. I like pulling OG stuff.
What about BZU? We got to get back to our roots, bro. Actually, I think I was the first one to pull Fidgetal. You're the first one to pull BZ.
Yeah,
and now we swapped. And now I'm on BZ. But I did pull that 500. I really thought I was going to get something dope out of that 500 pack.
That's how they get you. Like, you're like, you buy like $71 packs. You're like, yeah. And then you bought.
I'm feeling it, bro.
And then you're like,
this is an $80. Like a trader card. This is an $80 one piece. Pack. Shit. And I'll say no matter what it is, I'm selling it back because I don't care about One Piece, but I just want to see what it is.
It's like
$8,000
Monkey D. Right. This is like a rare Monkey D. Luffy.
This is for you, Red Sox guy. This is for you. Biggest One Piece fan that I know.
Yeah, watch it be like the most rare card ever. It's like,
oh, I paid $80 for a $30 pack. Oh, no. I'm down bad, that's, bro. Down bad.
What is it?
It's a freaking art.
I don't even know.
2024 One Piece Emperor something.
Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove card. Oh, Frankie. Bro. I didn't think I could hate One Piece anymore. But here we are. Now, I actually really like the live action, which is like something I wouldn't have caught myself saying a couple years ago. But live actions are getting better.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, that was dope. I like the vibe of that show too. Yeah.
Dang. So I pulled $1, $25, $50, $80. I wish this 100 was here. I'd pull this 100 for to end the day, but it's coming back soon. I mean, it jumps up to 250. So there's your RWA packs for the day. I don't want to click on anything personal, but yeah, I mean, there we go. That's some Fidgetals for you. I have pulled really good cards before. Just today wasn't the day, man.
I promise, bro. Trust me, bro.
Everyone was negative, bro. Everyone.
Yeah.
So
what'd you start with? Two something?
Yep. Well, some of them I didn't sell back, which I guess I should. I don't want to click on here.
Well, one of the dollar one was like 30 cents.
Yeah.
The Spinata. That we got
here. I'll just sell them back because I don't really, well, I don't know, I kind of want to keep a few. Let's see. So I pulled a, where is it? Did I sell them back? I don't see all of them.
Two back, I think.
Yeah, you might have papered. You might have auto papered.
He doesn't even know.
No, it's right here. Yeah. Here, I didn't want to share it just in case it showed something personal. But
you have the auto paper feature on or no?
Auto paper. It is a feature.
That's what they should call it. Yeah, auto paper.
Auto paper. Yeah. So I'm gonna keep them, I guess, because like I just want to beef up this inventory right here. And you do get points for all these too. So like I'm level 27, which is amateur collector. So hoping to like get that up. I think I'm top, like, I'm almost top 1K. Let's see. No, I'm not. It's because so many people are participating now. My number's been going down.
Dude, have you seen Legendary? He's, like, doing, like, six figs of, like, volume. Cool. Or
crazy,
wild.
Bro. Yeah, crazy. He's number one.
Why?
I mean,
I get it. But like,
he started in September, and he's number one collector on the app now, which is crazy.
It's wild to me. I'm like, bro's got... bro's got stacks, I guess, just lying around.
Yeah, I mean, he does. Yeah. So, all right, well, that's on my end, that's pretty much a day. We did all the things, man. We talked about AVAX, 1 billion DATs. We talked about Pump. We talked about
Pika.
Who?
Pika the coin.
Pika the coin, Zard.
Wait, hold up. I gotta pull now. I gotta pull. We gotta hit the Beezy Claw.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it.
I didn't notice I had 62 in there, so we'll rip a Beezy.
All right, bro.
You guys can see
So this is what's gonna determine the better platform right here, you know, whether this is profitable or not. Yeah, we'll see what the most profitable platform between Fidgetals and BZ is.
Okay, miss my signal guard. Yeah, it's like your wallet has been drained.
Dude, I had a dream that I got drained last night. I already had a bad day yesterday, and it's like, just to top it off, I had a nightmare that I lost all my crypto. It's like, what a nightmare.
Maybe 3 weeks ago, where I was just like, I had a ridiculous trade where I was up like 10 million, and then like that was the bottom.
Oh, 1998 Japanese vending machine,
$73.
Kongish cane.
Dang, bro,
hey, that's not bad, bro.
No, man, are you gonna redeem it?
Go profits. No, or
no, dude, you should get that shipped to your house, bro. That should go into your setup,
bro. That's a 10.
I think. Look, where are you a 90s child, or no?
I mean, I was born in '89.
Okay, well,
so technically, yes.
You know, I feel like we should keep anything that's from the '90s. You know, like shipped to our house.
This one's. I do like Japanese cards. I feel like they're undervalued compared to the American counterparts, in my opinion. But download pool. Yeah. I can download this as a JPEG.
I already screenshotted that. So
it's Criers now. But you know what? He can't screenshot if you ship that physical to your house.
That's true.
Put it in your setup. Yeah, good luck screenshotting that.
I'm in profits, though, baby.
Yeah, or you could get it shipped to your house.
I don't know. I'm in profits, baby.
Looks like my daughter drew that card.
She didn't draw it in 1998. Now, did she, huh?
No, she didn't.
Yeah,
not.
But I think the less I get shipped to my house, the less my wife will, like, judge me.
Bro, just show her your...
What are you getting shipped? How much was this?
just show her your Jupe P&L right now. Just be like, this is gonna... Don't... Look at this P&L and don't question anything until it's over $5,000 worth of cards.
Until it goes to zero.
Until you wake up tomorrow and there's like a massive red wick and you didn't set that stop loss.
I don't know. It's a series three. It's a PSA 10, which is why it's probably priced at 73. But I don't know. I feel the swap on this one, though.
All right, then swap it and run it back. I guess
I think Cryer's saying swap it. Right? Team swap. I'm team swap too.
All right. Well, I'm outruled. So swap it. But run it back.
All right, swap.
Get I right wouldn't send these to my house.
You what?
I wouldn't send any of these to my house. You got to keep them on chance. The whole point. What's the whole point of the RWAs? You send them to your house.
The whole point is you have the option to send them to your house or to keep them there.
If I pull a rare, like super rare one, I'll definitely send that. But like if it's like one of these, I might keep it on chain.
I view these like rich people view Rolexes. It's like you can have them cased and at your house, and they're just going to gain value over time. And it's a really cool thing to have.
But here's my collection.
Wow,
which is just one.
What a flex.
This one's just like Manta Ray. Yeah, it's actually. Chris told me to keep this one. Chris told me to keep this one, bro. He said, keep that one and have it shipped. I think was what, like $70 card as well?
It's a year 2000, bro. So yeah, keep it.
$70. List it.
Dude, imagine, look, if we just like pull all the 90s cards and keep them, then eventually the supply is going to be so low, they're going to be more valuable.
I think they have one piece too. You can actually just buy it off the market on these.
Yeah, that's trash, bro. Trash.
Keep on the damn
these would site. Be good. These would be good to like scout any like undervalued cards. Like somebody that it hasn't popped off
like it
hard.
It only can be on BZ.
These ones, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Is that with all of them? I'm not really into this stuff.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Like Courtyard, well, this can only is listen on Courtyard, and Fidgetal can only listen on Fidgetal. Is that how it works, or is it like?
I think so, yeah. Because this one's like, I think BZ's like all based on Flow is the underlying tech. So I don't think, you know, I think Fidgetal's is Solana based. So like two different, but you can still, use that, like, I think.
Collector Crypt one. Have you guys used that one at all?
I haven't used that one yet because they've been sold out every time. So I haven't even tried.
I think Grobot, like a Grobot, a big boy pack, like a 10 grand pack or something.
Kyle, you got to run it back, bro. You got 80 bucks so,
like,
now.
Here, right here. For example, like this Donovan Mitchell, like a so if like randomly the Cavs win like the championship this year. Like this card could be an easy snipe, like $45. This was back in 2017. That would go up in value for sure if they won like the NBA championship. But it's like an if, right? So Magic John, how is Donovan Mitchell worth more than Magic Johnson? Yeah, that's crazy. Anyways, yeah, that's that.
All right, dude, right back. One more pull.
One more pull?
Yes. You're in profit for the day. Why would you not run it back? You're not gonna all lose right. Like
that's how you lose your profits.
I know. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to have content for next week.
Whoa, you have to reload it, bro.
I'm trying to have content for next week. Yeah, bro.
Like, no way you're going to have less than $50 after this pool. Like, no way. Like, it's programmed, man.
That's like a guarantee.
It's programmed.
$10.
It's programmed. That's stuff I hear on the timeline. When people like
a PSA 4 manatee.
He's gonna pull a spinata.
Spinata. It's a Latino Pokemon.
What you can pull.
Okay, for the record, I'm saying your 80 is not gonna go below 50. I'm not saying that this is gonna be.
Oh, I had that. Me too.
Yeah.
That was
me too, dude. I'm so mad.
You're gonna be like, "Thank you, Chris. Thank you for letting me." It's over 50. You're even more in profit.
Dude's up. Look at the HP, $33 on the day. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, when I used to play
more than my Kong airdrop. I got Kong airdropped yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Well, there you go.
$30
When I used to play video games more, me and the boys would always keep on running it until we lose. You know, it's like I'm gonna get off like next
and then you're like
right. So
I did do that with
supposed to like keep going until you win.
We should have the same attitude here of like we just keep on going until we take our first L.
That's a game.
The Kong drop was like it reminds me of that tweet of Coinbase that like we airdropped like 100k of like reward creators whatever like airdrop and somebody retweeted like cool bro that's like $16 per creator
it was something crazy. It was like we sent out 2k versus creator rewards or something dumb. And then Pump Funds like we sent out $2.5 million in
we sent out millions.
It's like the same day. We're like, okay.
Yes, I
got screwed by CyberKongs like in February. Like, so they already had banana token, and then they jumped on the runes like or the Ordinal stuff, and then they dropped a rune which they spent like $2 million on to get it like as like the second inscribed rune ever. And then they did this creator contest that I'm pretty sure they rugged. Because it was like. They were allocating amounts of their token, and I spent a lot of time on my video, and all the videos were sent in, and they're going to give you like thousands and thousands of dollars away, and they never spoke about it again. And then their room just
like, bro, right still there. Heard about that one.
Yeah, like, heard about it. And now they're dropping another. Like, we're going to drop another token. Like, come on. Like, this is your third time as an NFT project. Like, you don't, the answer isn't just dropping more tokens.
Yeah, it is.
God, dude,
it's always more tokens.
Getting heated here, bro. Getting heated. I need to dial it back a little bit.
they paid for my lunch yesterday.
I'm closing that one.
Yeah.
Like Chris goes, Chris crashes out live on stream.
Yeah, also, the tweet you had to send was like, something about Kongs, and it's like, now I'm able to retire. And I changed mine to like, I'm able to buy lunch.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the Mickey D's, bro.
I also heard they like,
someone's like, you should buy all that with Taco Bell. I'm like, I'm gonna buy $30 with Taco Bell. That's how you die, bro.
I don't know. Taco Bell sounds kind of good right now.
I mean, good, but like $30 worth of Taco Bell? Like, that's way too much.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Taco Bell.
Dude, does all right.
A little rich for my blood for Taco Bell. Yeah. It's just like $1 a taco.
Is y'all Taco Bell like AI now? Because mine is. Like, you, like, if you go through the drive through, you don't talk to a person, you talk to like an AI.
Not mine.
I live in like a little country town, and you go to our Taco Bell, and you're like, "Yo, can I get that like Nacho Supreme?" And it's like an AI, and it's like, "Would you like the number 7?" Blah 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 blah. And then you're like, "Yeah, you know, I want to add the Dr. Pepper chips, whatever." And it'll talk back and forth to you. It's all AI, and it'll get you your total, and then you pull up to the window.
No, you got probably rich Taco way Bell. Fucking
better than the person, because they're like, "Yeah, we don't have that." I'm like, oh, yeah,
we
yeah,
got that. That
like, really? We don't got any of these.
Mad at you? Why would you ask that?
Yeah, like, you work at a place where you take orders, man. Like, yeah, why are you getting upset?
They're like mad.
Why are you mad at me, bro? I'm just hungry.
Well, I guess so.
You're here at 11:30. We close at 12.
That's still 30 minutes, bro.
30 minutes, dude.
It is better. You have some like Cajun people who don't speak very well, and they get like mad at it for like being accurate.
You talking about the AI? Yeah.
Like, I mean, people are mad about like that it's not a real person. So yeah, bro. Yeah, well, I'm glad Kyle profited today. I'm down bad on my Polymarket bet. I'm down bad on my fidgetal pools. I'm down bad on my leverage position. So
probably down to like 10% now.
It's because you said like, I'm 30%. It's because it's your Pokemon way, bro. You said you're gonna pull everything till you lose.
No, you're right. I gotta pull till I win. Hold on, we're not done yet. We gotta run this.
Win.
We gotta run it back. We haven't won yet.
Oh, bro.
So I'm just gonna start with a one.
Pull dollars? Do not pull dollar packs. You. This
is like literally. I'm gonna move up the scale again until I win.
He's trying to redeem off of $1.
I got a double dip here.
All right. Like any good
85 cents. All right. We're keeping that. We're going back to the $25. We got to keep going until we get the W. It's clear to me now.
The odds on this one is obviously better than the $1 bag.
Doesn't know the odds. Doesn't know if he sold it back.
All right. $10. I just spent $25 and got a 10 for this invisible Pokemon that like blends in with the background so much. Like what is this, bro? I can't even see this Pokemon. No wonder it's worth $10. I can't even I don't even care about that one. That one's dumb. Now we got to go to the $50 one to see if we can profit on that. Right. We're going to keep going, bro. We're going to keep going.
Wait, that one's dumb.
One of them has to be profitable, man. All right. So we're going to go to the $50 pack. We're going to hope to pull that Charizard. We're about to run this $250 I started with, the zero real quick.
$8. Dude, I did that one time, like the DYLI or whatever. The one on Abstract. It's like the same thing with this, but like on Abstract. And they were like, "Hey, if you make a video, we'll send you some packs." And I was like, "All right,
what is that?"
And then the first thing I pulled, like I like sent it back. My $50 turned into like $7, and I'm like, "Oh,
I mean, I'm not on good pace here, bro." I just pulled a $50 pack and it's 30 and it's some freaking Naruto character that doesn't even look like anything to do with Pokemon here. So we're gonna sell that baby.
That's a Kotsky right there.
Oh man, we gotta keep going until we hit the W, man. It's not looking too good here. Which one do you think? Should I hit the One Piece one again, or
you don't even have enough money to do the One Piece
one? Oh, you're right. No, well, I have enough money to do the 50 again. Here it is. This is the one. This is the one. It's gonna be worth $73.
It's gonna be worth $250 to get my money back. That was awful.
We might have to switch back to BZ, bro.
That was insane, bro. Man.
What's it?
We're getting wrecked on digital.
I know, bro. But we gotta keep going, man.
Can't even do it anymore.
I can do the $25 pack, man.
And we're going to zero.
Speed run to zero, man. Well, my first profitable one's going to be like.
You haven't got up half back yet. You haven't had better than 50% off.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like they ran out of good cards.
Wait. We got to sell off one of these. Do we still have time to do that? So that I can hit the 50 again. Let's see. I just need like, oh wait, I'm at 50. Why? That was weird.
Yeah, loaded.
Oh, okay. Well, we can hit the 50 again. It's all we got. This is all that we have right here. Put it all on black.
$4.
This one's going to be worth $200, and it's going to put us back where we started. Yeah.
That would be nice, but I'm going to say no. I'll say a 50% discount right here.
Hey, that's close. That's close. It's close.
What even is that?
10% off?
Arceus. Japanese Arceus. 2009. I guess this was like a movie special, probably the Arceus release. But I think that gives us enough for another pool. It's got to load up after it sells or whatever. Wait, it was 46. Yeah. Oh, yes. Go. We got enough for another $50 pool, baby.
Like a crack addict.
I can't believe I'm happy.
He's addicted.
Let's see if this one just knocks us out. Oh, it's rough, bro. It's not looking too good.
Not a single win. How many things have you done? 15 pulls?
Look, Cryer, it's not about the money you make. It's about the fun you have along the way, Cryer.
Wrong. It's about the money you make.
Yeah, it's about both.
We're in a financial institution here, buddy. You could have bought $250 worth of...
Pika.
Yeah, exactly. You put my bags on the way.
All right. But here's the thing. I'm also gaining XP for all these packs.
Oh, yeah. That'll be worth the token.
Like the Kong drop. 2.0.
A single positive one.
This is pretty rough, guys. I don't think I've had this experience before where, you know.
Can you even do it again? Can't even do it now. Now you got to do $28 packs or whatever. Just keep doing it.
I'm going to do it until I hit a win. I told you guys that. Unless you just feel like we got to call the stream here. I don't know.
Now you can only rip singles. You have to rip fucking...
Nah, bro.
$1 packs.
I'm gonna have to dive into my inventory and start selling off stuff, bro. So what is this? I can list it.
You can't sell any.
Right? FNB?
No. Yeah, I can list that for 85 cents. Offer. It's an offer? Oh yeah, look, 85-cent offer from them. Bro. What is this one? What is this? My precious spinata, 85 cents.
Are you gonna have that one shipped?
Hey,
dude, what's funny is that
36. That's not enough.
Wait, is that Spinda really slabbed and it's only worth 85 cents?
The plastic is worth more.
Yeah. What the heck?
Who got that slabbed? That's the problem.
I know. Like what?
I like the Salamance one.
Mm. No, you don't.
No, you don't. You can't. He likes it because he can't sell it back.
All right, so I'll accept this offer. Farewell.
I really like this one, actually. Eyes, bro.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad we could all have fun laughing at my demise here. But you know what? Who's going to be laughing when I'm about to pull that money card, which I still can't afford? I can do
when I have to rip 18 single dollar packs.
There's a reason why Legendary spent so much.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
The expected value
odds
of this
are terrible.
The expected value is of it being profitable is above 50-50. Oh no.
Look at that.
I don't even know. XY's theme siege?
I kind of like that it's like split in half. Like, that's a cool card. I feel like this should be worth more.
So cool, dude.
Yeah, bro.
I feel like it should be worth more.
I mean, have you seen a card that split like half?
You shouldn't sell it back then. You should probably list it.
That's too late, man. I'm about to start hustling and like ship these to my house and just like convince people to buy them. Like that'd be good.
You gotta work for your bags, bro.
Dude, tell me I can't go on the streets and sell the spinata for more than 85 cents. Like slabbed and everything, man. Imagine like walking out with a slab being like, you know,
I got this spinata. Guys. Is that Spinda? You know Pokemon?
Oh, it does say ungraded card. Yeah, so.
Oh, so that's not even in a thing.
Yeah, it's just
they make you think it's in a thing.
Yeah,
it's not even slapped. It's just like a bent ass card that they have lying around, and they're like, "That will just throw it in the
box." It's like those large stacks that they have of just all of the same kind.
That's even worse.
I have
none of those dollar cards are.
Wait,
are,
hold on. $2.65. If I sell both my 85-cent cards, do I have enough to? Do I have enough to run the 85 cents? No, I still don't. Oh man, I think it's.
So you spent $250 on an 85 cent.
I feel like we were just at the slots just now.
That was bad.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's like me watching Yaba's ass. I've seen Yaba do that, and I'm like, bro, why? Why are you even doing this?
I like Slugma.
Like, I gotta do it again.
Or what, I like Macargo right here. That's my boy. Dude,
I was doing that on like virtual. One guy I knew like was doing that on virtuals. Basically, he was like aping into like random virtuals and be like,
it says 0%. You see that, right? It says 0%.
Like, it's guaranteed you're not gonna get anything of value.
Every single car is good. You're literally just trading 15 cents to them every time you do this. Like, look at the odds.
Where
expected value 88 cents.
Zero.
Where do you say expected value? You're not gonna get your money back.
Yeah, but that's like, that doesn't mean that like you can't. It's like you expect.
Go to the 50. Go to the 50 buck pack that you were talking about. It's like the better odds.
Yeah, I know. I just can't afford it.
No. I'm just saying, look at the odds. Where were we talking about expected value?
Oh, like right here?
That's great.
That's because it's of saying it's a range of 30 to 60, and your expected value in that percentage pool is 85%.
No, but you're expecting
90% of them are $30.
No. I don't think that's how the math works. Exactly. Your expected value is $51.68 on a $50 pool. That's what it means.
Okay. They're using ranges. They're using the math as a range and not the actual cards.
Right.
I saw someone talking a bunch of shit about this because they don't show you exactly what you can get. It shows you the top 20 and then they say, "Oh, it's between 30 and 30 and 60, but 90% of that 30 to 60 is $30 card.
Yeah. So like a lot. Yeah. All these platforms aren't created equal. Like there's that, there's the range thing, but also like the way they stock inventory is different. Like I know BZ backstairs with Brinks. So, you know, it's like officially like they do have like an actual physical copy of it. And then I think Fidgetal is a little bit different. I don't know how Collector's Crypt does it, but it's like once you have that shipped to your house, they go and like buy it if they don't have it in stock or something like that. They go and make a deal. So I know like some of the platforms don't necessarily have the stock yet on some of them. So that's something. I don't know if that's for Fidgetals or not, but I was reading an article like they're not all the same. They have different ways of handling each feature. But at least with BZ, you know, like everything's backed by Brinks, which is what eBay uses to back their stuff too.
So. Why, dude? Why do this?
Oh, because it. All right, look. It says 99.93% chance to be anywhere from 15 cents to $15. But I guess that's like because the average is 85 cents. For the above average. Like, is there a chance to pull a card that's not 85 cents?
There's 0.05 and then 0.02
for every.
No, but that's for $25 to $50. But this range right here, 1,000
cards, five of them will be worth more than.
Yeah.
No,
we don't necessarily even know the odds of that. Five of them
will be worth more than $15, but not necessarily more than $1.
Yeah, you get XP, Professor. So
you do get XP. That's what Cryer doesn't understand, bro. I have the edge right now.
I will make you $1,000 bet that this will not even cover the money that you're doing right now.
See, Cryer doesn't understand how farming works.
Let's start
here,
a poly market. Yeah. Let's start a myriad. Yeah,
they're farming the pieces out of you. They farm $250.
No. I'm farming, right? So you go to this inventory over here and like look how beautiful that looks now. Like, you know, it might look bad to the outside, but they don't know is I'm stacking look, I went from member 1700 to 1200 just by opening all those packs, man. I'm about to be in the top 1K here. So I'm playing chess and Cryer's playing checkers.
How many yeah. How many times have we got a positive EV airdrop?
A good bit. Now whether this will be one or not, I'm not sure. Yeah. Only way to know is open five more packs.
Okay, let's say a positive EV on a app inside, like, honestly, probably less than 10.
I can't even think of my, like,
of crypto that are positive EV for farming.
Dang.
Okay.
Are you selling these back?
No.
These are like things you find on the floor of like a
high
school collectible shop.
It's like borderline impressive that I opened. So I, like the dollar ones I get, it's going to be 85 cents, but it's borderline impressive that out of all these packs, I haven't pulled a profitable one. Cause like my odds were like on this $80 pull, I basically fell into the 20% odds of getting a lower value opposed to like, I guess it wouldn't be exactly be that, but I had a much higher percent chance to be profitable. And on this one, this one's a little lower. Well, I was going to keep going until I was had a profitable.
But I ran out of money. Got to up it, bro. I got to reload.
Nah, bro. Should I spend the remaining eight, bro? And just, I might as well, right?
Why can't you buy eight? You
can only buy six. I don't know. It won't let me. It stopped at six.
They're keeping the 250. This is ridiculous. It's a $500 card.
Imagine. All right.
Is there even a card? What's the highest card on there? $50.
Yeah, but there's no chance. The highest card is gonna be like no $100. There's a 0.02% chance of a $50 card. Notice I only bought one. I have to save that last one for like a build up.
A build up.
All right.
Yay. Nine.
All right, there's one left. Here it is. My last effort. We successfully turned $230 into $1.65.
In an ungraded spinata.
Here it goes.
Will Chris ever break the amateur collector status on Fidgetal? Tune in next time. Tune in next week.
I know. I'm still amateur after all that. All right. Look, the trick is you have to wait until the card gets perfectly backwards.
Yeah, it's just like the old Pokemon before the update.
Yeah, the TCG app.
That worked. That fucking worked. I got some like ridiculous cards out of that, and everyone was saying that.
Well,
that ghastly. That was ghastly.
That was ghastly.
That whole section was ghastly.
Hola, Pia says XNet.
All right.
Next
time
you want to send 250 to somebody, just send me 250 and I'll put it in thank you for you. I'll give it back at 500.
Well, you saw it here first. I don't know what to say after that, guys. I think that's a time to call it.
I don't know what to say.
Well,
I apologize.
I'll see you guys next week.
Wait, we gotta roll the thanks for watching screen before you end it. Before you rug us.
Peace out, everybody.
Two crypto nerds just trying to get by. Crisscross chains while the kids watch Bluey. Bitcoin ordinals, yeah, I do it chewy. Kyle on FX, Web3, Gamer Flex. Kids think I'm cool, but I just pay the checks. Digit dance.